4.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And these are difficult times we're living in. And, of course, fortunately, Joel does a commentary every week, his report, which I get every Friday. And he helps to clarify many of the issues that we face today that seem so confusing. Because you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't get the truth from the news. There is censorship of the news. They have freedom of the press. The people who control the press have the freedom to delete whatever they want to alter facts, to create your reality in a way that you don't even understand, that you are being constantly manipulated by what you read in the newspapers and magazines and hear on the radio and see on television. They create your reality. They create your responses. Well, Joel helps us to see things clearly through the mire that they have created for us. Joel, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
It's my pleasure, Dr. Stan, as always. This truly is a mire, a muck that they have created for us, but it's very interesting to see the Hegelian psychology being used. That is, they create a conflict, and the results of that conflict, in this case a rapidly collapsing economy, are too horrible to contemplate, and therefore any, quote, false or temporary solution that they might propose is something that the public and Congress is forced to accept because the alternatives are just too terrible. That is, we might lose our posh lifestyle or the lifestyle that we've built up for so many years. But in fact, all the hype from Congress and the White House about bailing out the establishment financial institutions only to save America from the ravages of depression is really merely cover for a systematic protection racket aimed at saving those who brought this debacle upon us. They profited during the run-up, and now they want to profit on the way down, too.
You know, I agree with you. Go right ahead.
It's interesting to observe exactly how this happened. This housing bubble was a creation of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department in combination with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac after the collapse of the dot-com boom. I think in retrospect we have to understand that there is a huge speculative economy. The reason for a speculative economy, and what I mean by that, is that there's lots of people with excess money that they build through their businesses, they build through whatever income and profit that they have. Instead of putting that in a regular savings account, they always search for higher returns. And the reason they search for higher returns is that the government has consistently understated the real rate of inflation. They have also continually flooded the rest of the world with inflation, as the world has absorbed the U.S. dollar as the common currency of international exchange. This allows the world to absorb our dollars. But because of all of this money creation, those that are really savvy, those that have a lot of money, understand that you cannot survive this inflationary economy by simply investing at 2 to 3% even in a bank interest rate or CD. They look for higher returns. And so rather than invest in normal business productive endeavors, which don't pay, they pay off on a longer period of time. They're lured into speculation, whether it's in currencies or anything that's moving up in a market related to the flooding of currency by the government. In other words, whenever the government creates currency or credit, it always flows into certain expenditures, and those always move up. It's like a rising tide lifts all boats. So if you jump on that rising tide, you make a speculative return that's far higher than what is available at normal interest rates at banks or savings accounts. And that's what's built up over the last 40 or 50 years, ever since World War II, is this speculative economy searching for higher returns, looking to evade or to match at least the real rate of inflation. Now, this speculative economy, in my opinion, got to be about 70% of the total GMP. In other words, about only 30% of that money was ever going into productive endeavors. Most of it was just churning in speculative endeavors, riding one flood. And what happens, though, is that in any speculation, you build a bubble, and that bubble starts to peak and collapse. And quickly, these speculators move with very rapid speed into other rising tides. And as it so happens, the federal government created the second bubble after the collapse of the dot-com boom. By, in essence, creating Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which have existed for many years before as government entities, and then they turned them over to private entities. The privatization process is a way in which the government has of blaming what eventually turns out to be a bust on the free market or semi-free market policies. If this were truly a government-regulated agency, they'd take the blame for that. But because they were going to engage in rampant speculation in the housing market, they wanted to privatize this. But they gave Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac an unlimited line of credit so they could borrow virtually any amount of money that was necessary to finance whatever mortgages that were written. And so we created an entire industry of mortgage brokers, not just banks. As I've said before on our show in previous interviews, Dr. Stan, in the days when you and I were starting out in life, we would go to a bank for a loan, and we would have to be told often we don't have enough money to loan. We've loaned out all of our available funds. We have to wait for more deposits to come in or for the loans to be repaid off. But ever since the 1980s, where they began with Earnest to put together this new loan system, in essence, they began to package the loans. Banks who wrote loans didn't have to keep them. They didn't have to service them. They would simply package them together and sell them upline. In fact, they didn't do the packaging. There were certain major wholesalers, which were the Wall Street investment houses, as well as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, would package these loans together based upon certain risk factors. In other words, they would have criteria, and they would rate each one of the mortgages according to the credit scores that people have, as well as their income levels, package them into AAA and AA and other, and then market them upline to investors as major real estate investments without having to actually own the specific mortgages. They own packages of mortgage or bought into them. It became like condominium developments. You would own a portion of a large package. And this is where we set the stage for the collapse that is coming.
And they were actually encouraging people to take out these adjustable rate mortgages. They were doing everything they could to get people to buy loans that they couldn't afford. We're going to be back in a moment.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, who's talking about how the government created the dot-com bust bubble. They created the housing bubble, and as I was commenting, I mean, Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, was actively encouraging people to take out these adjustable-rate mortgages to buy the homes, and they were actually offering people 125% of the value of a home if they'd simply buy the home. People were pocketing money. Of course, they had to pay it back. It was part of the loan procedure, but everything was done to get people to buy homes, to run up the housing bubble. And then, of course, when it collapsed, why, of course, we have the situation we have today, which is all orchestrated until people understand that nothing happens by accident in the financial world. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, banks, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, have tremendous amounts of bonds, so-called collateralized debt obligations, that have no value or only 50 or 30% of the value. And this is why many of our banks, many of our financial houses, many of our pension funds are becoming increasingly insolvent. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that the changing of the requirements or the criteria for gaining a home mortgage began to change only about a third the way through this housing bubble. In the beginning, they had standard criteria which was used, which is generally 10 to 20% down on a home. Once you exhaust those potential buyers, then they would look for creative criteria to open the markets, in other words, to people who couldn't meet those criteria. And they slowly began, through a variety of things, including adjustable rate mortgages, to increase the potential pool of borrowers and people who could get into a home. I remember this very distinctly happening, where you started to see billboards saying, anyone now can qualify to buy a home. You know, why rent? You had these billboards all over the country and saying, no money down required. So it went from 10 to 20%, and actually there was no money down, although the rates that you would pay were higher, but you would have even adjustable rate mortgages, and you would also have you could qualify as a down payment by actually taking out a second mortgage to pay for the down payment. So in essence, you had one mortgage giving you the down money and then a longer-term mortgage for the rest. Well, all of these mechanisms brought in and expanded the pool of potential borrowers for home mortgages at least 100%. It doubled the pool. And that's where we got a tremendous amount of upshoot in the market. Now, there's a third factor that took place in the housing boom, and that is that we went to full employment. Because the housing boom was fueling so many jobs around here, a lot more people could afford to qualify for a home. So everybody was getting into a home. You know, the rental market really became rather flat because everybody was going into homes. There were a lot of excess homes that were available for rent. And now what's happened is that we not only have run out of potential buyers, even at zero down, that's one of the reasons for the downturn, is that you suddenly ran out of buyers and you can no longer, you know, take the criteria any further. So you've got a market made up of 50%, shall we say, of normal buyers who could afford to put a significant amount down and get the best interest rates, highest credit ratings. Then you had the other half of the market who people could afford to make the payments, at least when they applied for the loan. But now with two factors here, you have the ending of the bubble being that you've already exhausted all or most of the potential buyers of homes, even at the lower criteria. So the market's already heading downward. People are starting to lose their jobs because the construction industry is laying off people. Engineers are laying off people. Architects are laying off people. Anyone involved, manufacturers are starting to lay off people because of the lack of demand for the products. Home Depot and other people are closing stores. And then you have on top of that a huge inflationary rise in the price of fuel. And this all of a sudden accelerates the downward spiral of the economy. Because even people who were making it, whose jobs were not directly related to the construction industry, are now having to pay higher prices for fuel, higher prices for food. And so their disposable income is dramatically reduced. Their ability to buy even home remodeling things, and so the economy goes into a further spiral. This then creates an atmosphere whereby many of that top 50% and even some of the lower value 50% mortgages, then even a good deal of the people who had secure incomes and mortgages are losing their jobs and their income. And so this is a self-feeding spiral that is much worse than what they thought, and most of it is precipitated by those two factors, the running out of additional buyers to keep the boom going and the increased cost of the inflation. Now, as we bail out these systems, and remember, the bailouts are aimed at the speculative portion. These are not bailouts except for this $150 billion that they injected into the economy, giving people tax rebates. That is direct inflation, and it has boosted prices. It has allowed the economy to have a short recovery during May, June, and going into July. And then after July, and this is what's very interesting, they're looking at a dramatic precipitation downward in the economy as this money peters out, that it's circulation. What's really interesting is that the U.S. Treasury Secretary, who is, of course, the former chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, not only announced the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, saying that, in essence, they're going to give them whatever money that they have to keep them afloat, but they also slipped through a request, or not a request, this was a change in the rules from the SEC banning any market short sales, claiming that this was manipulation of the market that affected Fannie Mae, but only designed to target 19 Wall Street investment firms. In other words, here's a special rule, Dr. Stan, that says you cannot short the market on the stock of Goldman Sachs, of Merrill Lynch, of Citibank, of J.P. Morgan, or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. You can't short the market here. But only for 19 stocks. Now, that is a direct indication that they expect to have a major downturn. This was specifically for the period of July 21st through 29th. And extendable for another 30 days. They know that something big is going to happen July 21st and 29th, and they want to make sure that their own financial institutions are protected. I mean, this is just ludicrous that they would get away with targeting an anti-manipulation rule that only applied to 19 firms. That's what I call in this week's brief, protecting their own.
Well, they've done it for a long period of time. There's a group of people of great wealth who are part of the establishment who run the world, and you can always be sure that they'll be looked after, at least in this world.
Well, you know, Jim Rogers, chairman of Rogers Holdings, summarized this as saying, you know, we're ruining what has been one of the greatest economies in the world. Bernanke and Paulson are bailing out their friends on Wall Street, but there are 300 million Americans that are going to have to pay for this. And pay we will through rampant inflation. And a large proportion of this inflation, of course, is due to the falling value of the dollar. Another major portion of the inflation, of course, is due to rising fuel prices itself, driven up by not only the falling dollar, meaning that the price of oil isn't really rising, it's the dollar's falling. But these very investment houses, Wall Street banking firms like Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch have been doing a great deal of investing in the oil markets and not taking delivery. That is, they're seeing a rising tide in a market, and they're simply churning these contracts. They buy a contract for 1,000 barrels of oil. They pay for it, and then they don't take delivery. They simply sell that contract on up the line for a future date to another speculator who wants to get in on the market. And that's how they're doing it. So it's very interesting that this new rule on saving the 19 financial institutions from market shorts, they have not applied to the oil markets, because those same 19 firms are a big portion of who's involved in manipulating the oil market. In fact, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission came out and said there was no significant speculation in the oil market. Who runs the commodity trading? You know, the same people used to be principals in these brokerage firms. They're protecting their own.
Right, and I think it's so important that people understand that this, when the commodity exchange people say there is no manipulation, and yet we hear people, you know, in Congress and the Senate, I think that for one time they're right, saying, of course there's a speculation. This is what's driving up the prices. And I think probably 50 or 60% of the massive increase in oil prices has come from speculation, the other 40% from the inflation, the destruction of the value of our dollar. Because there's no shortage of oil in the world. Saudis will say that, and there is no shortage. They've simply run the price up, and somebody's made tremendous profits.
Well, and, you know, even the local smaller oil companies in America are very pleased with the price run-up because, you know, oil is harder to extract from the existing reserves that we have within the continental United States, and they have restricted our ability to move into new reserves, of which have been put off limits by the environmentalists. It's very discouraging that despite the administration's perceived willingness to open up these reserves and coastal reserves in California and the Gulf of Mexico, which are huge compared to what's available for drilling right now, they've been stymied by the courts. Now, I personally believe that the administration has not been in favor of opening these, but have just simply said so that they can get the political advantage of appearing as if they're trying to solve the problem, knowing that the courts will, in fact, shut down these attempts to open up these reserves. So this is kind of like Team A and Team B working at cross purposes, but allowing Team A to get the political plus of supposedly being in favor of opening up these reserve areas. So, as you have often said, nothing is as it seems. We have to look beyond what is going on in the immediate press.
Well, I think it's so interesting, of course, that oil dropped the last couple of days really rather dramatically. It's going to be interesting to see whether they let it fall in preparation for the coming election so that they can get McCain in. I think my personal opinion is that's the person that they want. And, of course, if the economy is terrible, if oil prices went through the roof, why, Sidney, McCain associated with Bush could never possibly win. I think there's going to be a lot of changes between now and November, and then after November, why, hang on to your hat.
Yes, and, of course, the situation in Iran, the war potential in Iran could change all of that if they have an attack on Iran by the administration before the election. I think this will accrue to the benefit of John McCain, who has been more of a promoter of war and intervention in the Middle East. If it happens after the election, it will probably accrue to the benefit of whoever wins the election. Well, I won't say to the benefit. I think that one of the purposes of having another phony anti-war candidate running against McCain, Barack Obama, is so that he can convince the anti-war movement, which he has championed, that we have no choice but to go to war with Iran. In fact, he's almost got to that position now, making some very strong statements in the press about having to stop Iran and using the military options. So he's come very close to the McCain position, all the while trying to pretend that he's an anti-war candidate. Just because he says we're going to bring the troops home in 16 months doesn't mean he'll actually do it. when the realities hit the ground. He can always say, well, I talked to General Petraeus, and he has convinced me that we need to stay a little longer. And, of course, even the administration is downsizing the troops somewhat, at least making overtures to quell the major negative feelings that the Americans have about this continuing war in Iraq.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen, and I really hope we can touch briefly on the what I believe is the coming war with Iran. We'll be back in just a moment here. The American News.
Be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Are you treating just your symptoms with dangerous medications and a multitude of supplements? If you answered yes, then you may be fighting the battle but losing the war. Nourish each cell in your body with Bio Superfood and win the war. 30 years of research, Bio Superfood offers more than 5,000 nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, EFAs, and powerful antioxidants to boost your immune system. With Bio Superfood, the war is won at the cellular level. Call today toll-free 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, before we get into the war with Iran, I'm going to ask Joel if he'll tell our listeners how they can possibly get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and even consider subscribing to it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday. It's my weekly news analysis service. I send it to people's email boxes, or they can download it from the website with the access codes. There is a modest subscription. It's a very economical newsletter compared to what's out there in the market. And if people want to get a sample issue to see if they'd like to subscribe, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget that or don't have a chance to write it down, they can go to worldaffairsbrief.com and simply read the summary of the current brief, which is posted on the front page, and it tells you right at the end how to get a free sample copy. Also on the website is a a listing of all the top news stories of each day. My research staff screens them carefully so that you get the ones that have the least disinformation in them. I mean, nothing's perfect out there on the establishment news, but at least you get the ones that, you know, are fairly factual. And that's why I comment at the end of each week, so that I try to add the information in that has been purposely left out or neglected. Also, on the right-hand side of the website is a tremendous amount of archival material, which explains my specialty, which is going through and analyzing the cover-ups that our government has been involved in, which tells and illuminates the real secret agendas, which is so prevalent in our own government, where we have the pretensions of being right or left, and actually these governments, whether it's Clinton or Bush administration or neither, they're all globalists in orientation. They simply have two different teams that play two different sides of the political spectrum. But their real agenda is illuminated in the crimes that they commit, the interventions around the world, false attacks they design and create in order to drive America into changes of their constitutional structure, which we're seeing as we speak. So it's very important that people get illuminated and understand what's going on and what are the agendas behind that. And that's why I publish the World Affairs Brief each week.
And I commend it to our listeners. Well, before we, I just wanted to briefly comment, and I hope Joel will elaborate on this, the possibility of a war with Iran. First of all, one of the interesting things we've found is that in the Iranian Monitor, which publication I get from an establishment think tank, but they do have some excellent material there, they commented that in the Iranian newspapers reporting that in Iran they're digging 320,000 graves. They're digging the graves in preparation for the bodies that are going to be put into them. They're telling the Iranian people that these, of course, are for the bodies of the soldiers who are going to invade their country. Well, of course, I don't think that for a minute. I think that that's going to be for all the Iranian citizens that they anticipate will be killed in the coming war. But they can't tell the Iranian people that. It's been blacked out in the American media, but you can go up on the Internet and Google in 320,000 graves, Iran, and you'll find many references to that. And like Joel's comment on that, the other thing is that we've had from several reliable sources the fact that Israel or Israeli planes are stationed and are actually being allowed to land on American air bases in Iraq, and a fairly significant number of Israeli planes are being allowed to use American air bases, and of course, that would be a very much shorter flight from Iraq into Iran than from Israel having to fly, of course, across Jordan, across Iraq, to strike Iran. And certainly everything points to the fact that Israel is going to launch an attack on Iran. Of course, Iran then will retaliate not only against Israel, but against the United States, because we've helped them. It's very obvious. We provided the weapons and the air bases for them. And that will, of course, justify then massive retaliation on the part of the Americans on Iran, because they attacked us. They attacked us, therefore we are justified in attacking them, whereas ordinarily any country that is attacked will tend to reply and retaliate against the enemy, and that's what you would expect Iran to do. What are your thoughts on that scenario?
Well, I think that's very accurate. It matches exactly my own. I have felt for a long time that the U.S. attempted to provoke a direct response from Iran, as they tried to do in the Straits of Hormuz with the speedboats surrounding our naval task force there, when black operations attempted to broadcast their intentions to attack the American boats, but the American commander did not take the bait, fortunately, and did not provoke an incident. So I think they will use Israel to provoke this war. Israel has what appears to be the prime reason for demanding or not permitting or tolerating a nuclear Iran, just as they attack the reactor in Iraq. They will attack the reactors in Iran. And as you pointed out, doing so from American bases then gives shortens the flight, makes it much more easy for Israel to do this attack without having to overfly Kentucky or Jordan, where they would have intelligence operations in Iran that would perceive the flights coming in advance. It'll take off a very short distance from American Air Force bases. But then this sets up America for that retaliation because they've been a party to this attack. Now, the American people won't be told that. The American people won't be told that the Israelis are taking off from American bases with American permission. It will be sold to the American people as if this was Israel trying to defend itself, and Iran on its own decided to retaliate against the United States, and so we will retaliate in kind. Now, going back to the issue of the 320,000 graves, I suspect upon further analysis on this, Dr. Stan, that this may be simply a little bit of bravado on Iran's part. In the first place, they have stated that these are graves that are being dug in border areas and individual graves, 15 to 20,000 in each of the border provinces. This tends to indicate that they are preparing to for a cross-border attack from American forces coming in from Iraq. And we know, and the Iranians know, that the Americans don't have the forces for such an attack and that they won't be doing so. These would not necessarily be used or appropriate for the kinds of casualties that Iran would suffer in the interior. Why ship all the bodies clear out to the border areas, you see? In other words, first of all, we have no evidence that any of these graves are being built at this time. This may be, in a sense, a typical of Iranian bravado, saying that we're prepared, we know that you're coming, and we're going to prepare all these graves. Until we actually see some satellite photos of all these graves being dug, I'm going to view this more as bravado on Iran's part. Just like the missile launches that they had here, they set off two or three older missiles of the Scud variety, one of them even disguised as to look like a Shihab-3, and then they photograph it from several different angles to give the impression that this is a massive show of force, but Iran is not about to waste 9 to 12 missiles on a missile test.
That thought crossed my mind as well. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen on the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Stan back here. Our guest, of course, Joel Skousen, the final segment of our morning's program. Go right ahead, Joel.
We're talking about the potential of an attack on Iran. It's interesting that we have to watch for potential ruses because so much of the Internet is ablaze with the suspicion that the United States really does intend to attack Iran. I mean, there's been some very obvious remarks made by the president. There's been some very obvious military preparations made. In fact, they've been in place since last October. They were put on hold because of its potential on the primary elections in the United States of feeding the anti-war candidacy of Ron Paul if they should attack Iran at a time that it was very, very unpopular. But now we're seeing a flurry of activity on the diplomatic front. This week there appeared to be a significant policy shift in the U.S. decision to talk face-to-face with Iranian negotiators about Iran's nuclear enrichment. The decision by the Bush administration to send a senior American official to participate in international talks with Iran is the first time that the U.S. has, in fact, faced Iran with a senior administration official. Before, they have always said as a precondition of talks, Iran must agree to give up its enrichment program. And as I have pointed out numerous times, this is a non-starter for negotiation. In essence, what it does is say, you give up your entire position as a precondition of talks. And then the other side says, and rightly so, well, what is there to talk about if we capitulate before the talks? You see, you cannot hold as a precondition of negotiations a complete capitulation. That isn't a precondition of negotiation. That's a precondition of capitulation. And so the administration has long held to this, and I have said for many weeks that the purpose of that precondition is, in essence, to make sure the talks do not occur. Now, because there is so much sentiment around the world, including Barack Obama claiming that we must talk, the U.S. is going through the motions of doing so. And that's why they're dropping this precondition. But Iran has its own preconditions itself. The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has said on Wednesday that Iran is ready for negotiations over the nuclear crisis, but warned it would not step over any of its red lines. And the red lines that it has, there's no giving up of enrichment. So in essence, we really have no movement at all other than the fact that they are going to make a face-to-face talk. They'll exchange these red lines and these demands, and then it will be over. Now, the Iranians will be able to say that they, have negotiated in good faith, and the U.S. will also say that they've negotiated in good faith, but the Iranians were obstinate, and thus this will set the stage for an attack. And that's why I think that these negotiations are not a sign of peace, but rather a prelude to war.
And I think people have forgotten that, of course, when we were going to war, just before we went to war with Japan, though the Japanese emissaries were in Washington, D.C., trying to negotiate peace. We see this technique used over and over again. And many times people say, oh, well, we're negotiating, everything's going to be fine, but don't you believe it for a minute. I think it's a beautiful cover. We can say, gee, we were negotiating with the Iranians, and look, now they've attacked us just because we let the Israelis use our bases and gave them the weapons to attack Iran. And of course, talking to them, people I think are very, very knowledgeable about what Israel really intends. They're talking about, we're not talking about years from now. They're talking about in a relatively short period of time. So go right ahead, Joel.
Well, and it's my feeling that this will precipitate a regional war. I think Israel is itching to go after Syria. And Hezbollah and Lebanon again, and I think that this attack on Iran will precipitate a regional war whereby Syria and Hezbollah will then attack Israel. Israel will feel justified then in going through and using its ample missile and fighter power to obliterate these two countries. And what's interesting is that they have, starting in this last Lebanon war, began to target civilian infrastructure, claiming that they're military targets. But this is very, very clear to all the regional observers that Israel, rather than avoiding civilian casualties and avoiding destruction of civilian infrastructure, purposely targeted it. And that's an indication their attempt to actually destroy the economy of a country. and bring about social unrest and bring about a destruction of the governmental structure that is there, because that's the first thing that causes people to overthrow governments or demand change, is when they cannot make a living and the pain factor among its citizens are very, very high. I think they intend to do that in Syria, perhaps in Jordan as well, and even in Egypt. Egypt has been building up and is one of the main military reservoirs of hostility towards Israel, even though they've got this long-standing peace treaty with Israel. Egypt continues to build up its military might in preparation for a preemptive strike on Israel. They may be drawn into this war, and it's going to be a very, very bad war. I really expect the oil supplies in this war to be severely disrupted. Certainly Iran has the capability with all of its anti-ship missiles of putting down several tankers in the bottleneck area of the Straits of Hormuz and closing down up to 20% of oil shipments around the world.
And, of course, we are giving Egypt a couple of $1 billion every year. A lot of that money goes into weapons that they're accumulating for the coming war with Israel. It's almost as if we're financing both sides.
Well, it is that we're financing both sides. And, of course, this is done ostensibly to placate the Arab lobbies within the United States and those of saying that we're equally financing to prove that we're not essentially in favor of Israel. There is no question in my mind, however, that Israel is very much a part of the globalist agenda. It is the Israeli government, people need to understand, is not truly right-wing. It's only pretending to be right-wing in Israel. And it, in fact, does everything it can to undermine a true right-wing political movement there. One of the things that they've used for so many years is to take globalists and dress them up as right-wing politicians like Benjamin Netanyahu, who's positioning himself to the right of Ehud Olmert, who probably will not survive without a war. He's so unpopular and he's so corrupt. But Benjamin Netanyahu is a Kissinger protege, and he's been established as a right-wing alternative to Olmert in the Likud party. But he is no such thing. He's a globalist. And every time he gets in to be prime minister, he does the globalist bidding.
Amen. Well, Joel, thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in a moment, here at the American Street.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The goal of Worldwide Biblical Zionists is to unite Bible believers all over the world who love Israel and want to build up Zion. Joel Bell and Sagiv Aslev will be sharing the vision of Worldwide Biblical Zionists and how you can become a member of this movement July the 29th from 7 until 10 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza Hotel at I-25 and 120th Avenue. They'll be in the Gray Peaks Ballroom. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, I'm back here at the American Freedom Network. As I enjoyed our interview this morning with Joel, I always enjoy talking to him. He has a tremendous grasp of what's going on today. And, of course, I have very little question that we are going to war with Iran. What it's going to be, I'm not certain, but I would fear that it may be sooner rather than later. Why are we financing both sides, both Egypt and Israel? That doesn't make sense. Why did the American State Department and the CIA bring the radical Ayatollahs to power in Iran back in 1979? What people don't understand is that everything seems to be operating on some sort of a timetable that perhaps even those people who are perpetrating it really don't control. And I believe with all my heart there are powerful spiritual forces working behind the scenes. We have a new DVD talk I gave. It's called The Secret Knowledge, and there is secret knowledge out there. Of course, you need to understand what this is about. It's being popularized by Oprah Winfrey and Rhonda Burns and by certainly Larry King. They tell you there's a power that you can tap into, a very real power that will give you whatever you want. And the trouble is, it's true, but you don't want to tap into that power because it comes from the other side. And there is another side. There is a spiritual dimension to everything going on today. This is why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the CD, and of course you can watch it up on the Internet if you cannot afford the DVD. But you need to understand what we're really up against. You need to watch my DVD, The Forbidden Secret, The Forbidden Secret. And certainly we hope that you will get that Forbidden Secret. There's a syllabus that goes with that. You'll get my DVD on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. The new DVD we've made called The Secret Knowledge, and it simply will give you the background of the fact that there is another force there. And until you understand that there isn't a cult hierarchy that rules the world, it is the common denominator behind all of the organizations that are out there. And, of course, this cult hierarchy rules the world through spiritual forces. And if you doubt that there really are spiritual forces out there, we have a little pamphlet that's put out by the Lucius Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, but a lot of people didn't like that name, Lucifer. So they called it the Lucius Trust today. You can go to their website, lucistrust.org, and they're there. Some of the most powerful people in our country, some of the wealthiest people in our country, actually finance their front organizations of the New Group of World Service the World Goodwill. The New Group of World Service is usually the one that the money pours into to finance this organization with international branches throughout the world, which nobody will talk about. Well, of course, if you'd like to get the little pamphlet they put out, if you get any of our other products, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. It is a pamphlet they put out based upon a book that was written by Alice Bailey that was channeled to her by a demonic spirit. Alice Bailey, one of the leading theoreticians of the first half of the last century. You can go up on the Internet and get the material on her. Of course, you're never going to hear this talked about by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, or none of the other commentators are going to tell you about the spiritual forces behind the political movements that are going on today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
The goal of Worldwide Biblical Zionists is to unite Bible believers all over the world who love Israel and want to build up Zion. Joel Bell